Today, this morning, we're on message 4, which is on page 21 in your outline. Can you have your Bibles out, or those Gospel of John's? We'll be reading quite a few verses, but we won't need it just yet. I wanted to start out by just covering briefly again what this conference is about. It's the Gospel of John, but it's two words. Can you tell me what they are?
Life and building.
Right. So when we talk about life, we have to be very, very clear. We're not talking about our human life. We're talking about the divine life. The divine life, it's God's life, you know. I can make a few parallels that will hopefully help, you know. More and more as you go on, you will realize that our human life, which is sometimes called our natural life, you know, it's temporary. It will eventually, we will die. Actually, all forms of life, apart from God's life, will eventually pass away. Which means God's life is eternal.
Amen.
Not just in time, it will last forever. But in its nature, just its quality, it's eternal. You know? It won't be broken. It can't be chipped. It can't be damaged. It's wonderful. Our human life is weak. You might think you're strong, but eventually you'll find out. I think as you grow older, unfortunately, you realize you are weak.
Amen.
The older you become, humanly speaking, the older you become, you realize your weaknesses. But God's life is strong. And by strong, I don't mean blasting, you know, in a kind of way, but solid. It will... just solid, you know. It's got weight.
Amen.
It doesn't get blown away by little things. It's solid.
Amen.
And also, God's life is resurrection.
Amen.
Resurrection is wonderful.
Amen.
So, keep in mind that when we talk about life, especially in the Gospel of John, it is this life.
Amen.
We're not here to improve our human life. Amen. If you recall, what makes us Christians... the only thing that makes us different from everyone else is we have God's life.
Amen.
And we are learning to live by God's life.
Amen.
So, but life is wonderful, but if it's just there, it's rather sad. So in the Gospel of John, when we talk about life, constantly have in your mind life dispensed into your being.
Amen.
Never leave it separate from you. If it is, want it and go and grab it. You know, in fact, God did everything to come to make it available. You just have to come. If I say this bottle of water is free, but you sit there, you'll never have it. You have to come here and get it. It's free, but you have to come. You know? So just keep that in mind. And building, you know, building is just the increase of this life. Everything else that comes out of the wonderful life of God is just the issue of the increase of God. You know, our being able to be with the brothers, to be with the saints, to love our enemies, even our reading of the Word, our being righteous—all these things that we. A lot of people try to do in themselves. Actually, we need to... the building is just the increase of God. All the other things come as an issue. If you have the increase of God, eventually you'll have these things. So, so I'd just like to kind of briefly also mention that bridge of time that we all saw. You know, I think many of you might have read The Mystery of Human Life, right? And you've seen that diagram that we always have, you know. Do you see similarities? It begins with eternity past, where there was the Word and God. And then we come down. There's creation. And then God became a man. He lived a human life. What's another point? Lamb of God. He died on the cross. He was buried, resurrected. Now he's living in us. The dove, the life-giving spirit. All... eventually, the continual dispensing the continual increase, you'll have the church. Amen. Which is the New Jerusalem, which then goes into. So this was in message one or two, one. But I hope that this will become something you see everywhere. Amen. It's not just in message one. And it's not just in this conference. This is the principle of the Bible. If you just pray to the Lord that you will see this, because if you see this, you will see it everywhere in the Bible. Any chapter you pick up, you will see this. And I'll give you a quick illustration. Genesis chapter 2, we have the tree, we have man, we have the tree of life with the river and the stones. The tree of life. You know, that signifies Christ. Because we know in John, he said, I am the vine. And he also said, I am the life. But did you know a tree? We just heard this recently. A tree. Why did the God use the word tree to illustrate him? A tree is something that grows out of the earth. It's not something in heaven. It's on the earth. Amen. That shows that Christ was incarnated. Amen. That's amazing. I mean, would you have thought in Genesis chapter 2 you see incarnation in the tree of life, and the river of water of life brings this to all the earth, you know. And then there's the stones. You know, we talked about it, you know. Is not this in Genesis chapter 2 already? You'll see it everywhere. And this is life. And this shows God's intention, the way God does things, and God's purpose, you know. So I just hope, you know, I don't know, pray. And a whole life is just to discover this. And it'll become a continual supply. You know. One thing I like to do in this is, I often say this, it's there's a saying that goes, give a man a fish, you feed him for one day, right? Teach a man how to fish, and you feed him for life. So I hope in our listening, we're not just receiving a fish, we're learning how to grasp to fish. So we will know, you know, when we go back after this conference, you might not have people giving you fish anymore, but you will start to learn how to fish. Amen. So wherever you are, you will still be supplied. Amen. Even if you just catch a little one at the beginning, no problem. You still got a fish. But I hope we have that attitude and that seeking, you know, in us. Amen. All right, let's come to the outline. So it's the need of the hungry, life's feeding. So if you remember, the principle of life is to change. Oh, sorry. The principle is to change death into life. So when you think of hungry, what happens if you don't eat? Eventually, you die. You know, hunger and thirst. Although we're focusing on hunger, never separate the two. Hunger and thirst always go together. So although we're focusing on hunger here, whenever you eat, you need a drink. And whenever you drink, it will lead you to the food. But anyway, whenever you're hungry or thirsty, actually, that's a sign of death. You know, although you might not die straight away, eventually, it's a sign of death. So when we eat, what happens? We get life. So actually, this principle is still, this, the principle is there, the changing of death into life. Amen. Amen. So you should treasure each time you eat. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Yeah. Okay, let's read some verses, shall we? So we'll go through these verses little by little, and then I'll kind of comment here and there. Amen. So John chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. So let's alternate, starting with sisters and then brothers. Oh, yeah, sorry, one more thing. When we read, don't just read, speak. You know, the first person who hears is yourself.
Amen.
Whatever comes out of your mouth, the first person to hear is yourself.
Amen.
So don't just read, speak.
Amen.
Faith comes from hearing.
Amen.
You know, so God created everything the Lord does is through speaking.
Amen.
And we can, speaking is just powerful. And it's wonderful. So when we read, and exercise your spirit of faith to believe.
Amen.
And speak.
Amen.
Amen. So verses 1 and 2, sisters first. Amen.
And
a great crowd
followed him, because they saw the signs which he did on those who were sick.
Amen.
And Jesus went up to the mountain and sat there with his disciples.
Okay.
Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near.
Okay, we can stop there. So if you have a look at at point A, it says it gives us a portrait of what's happening in John 6. You know, it's always good to know where we are and who we are, because then we will know what the Lord is and what he can be to us. So in the last case, we saw that it was an impotent man, and he was in the temple. So this signifies that, you know, it's in a religious kind of setting. But here, it changes, and now we're in the sea. You know, and the sea typifies the world. And when I mean the world, it's what we live in, the system People around the sea, signifying mankind busy and occupied in Satan's organized and systematized world. You know, so this actually applies to all of us, because this is where we are. We are in the world, whether you like it or not. We're in the world. And not just us, this is everyone, like everyone, all man, you know. Because mankind is busy and occupied in the world. You know, why do we why do we study? Why do we study? Oh yeah, can you say that?
To get a job.
Why do we get a job? Eventually, like the core, what is the essence? Why would we need a job? Yeah, to live. We need to provide for our stuff, our living. So eventually we're occupied, because this is what... But Satan uses this to try to trap us and ensnare us and occupy us. So we'd be occupied with these things more than with the things of God. Okay, so this is a picture of the sea, right? And the other setting is when this occurred. It's the feast of the Passover. So the Jews had three main feasts each year. And the first of these feasts was the Passover. So this signifies that this is the beginning of our human life. You know, you all know that, and so it's typifying that at the beginning of our life, we always start out hungry. We always want more. So we seek after things, you know. You seek after education, you seek after amusements, and you seek after one degree, you seek after another degree, one car, two cars, so forth. So you're always hungry. And after you get something, you still want more. So this typifies, you know, the beginning of man's life. But you'll always still be hungry. The reason you seek more is because you're not satisfied. So point two says, the Feast of the Passover, signifying the beginning of man's life, always ending in hunger. Okay, so this is the picture, right? Okay, let's, let's read verses 5 to 11. Sisters first. Amen.
But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he was about to do.
And Philip answered him,
disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him,
"There is a little boy here who has five barley loaves and two fish, but what are these for so many?"
Jesus said, "Have the people reclined." Now there was much grass in the place. So the man reclined in the number of about 5,000.
Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to those who were reclining, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so I don't know how many of you know the story. I think a lot of you do. So there were people who were hungry, and the Lord had compassion on them. He didn't want to send them away. And that's wonderful, because he knows we're hungry, and he won't send us away. But he does it in a very particular way, you know. He feeds them with five loaves and two fish. So I'll just kind of comment a little bit. The five loaves are barley loaves. Now, in the land of Israel, apparently the barley is the first crop that ripens, you know. This is a sign of resurrection, you know. So the loaves signify, if you look, five barley loaves, the generating aspect of Christ's life. That's what resurrection does. Actually, that's what the divine life does. It just gives life, you know. So keep that in mind. And then two fish. Fish are, of the animal life. So I think we mentioned that at the beginning, you know, when man was created, sin had not come in. So all man needed was God's life, because he didn't have God's life. So he needed God's life. But after man fell, redemption is needed. And that's the shedding of blood. And plants don't have blood, so animals have blood. So the fish typifies the redeeming aspect of Christ's life. And the fish, wonderful, they live in the sea. So that's where we are. Christ came as a fish. He lived in the sea, you know, to redeem us, you know. But he wasn't affected by the sea. So that's wonderful. So both of these lives, the generating life and the redeeming life, are needed to meet man's need. If we just have the redeeming, we still need life. We can't, and because of the fall, we can't have life without redemption. So this is something very important to remember, because never forget that we will need redemption.
Amen.
Never forget. Never think you'll get to a point while we're on this earth that you will not need the Lord's blood. You know, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 3, in the New Jerusalem, you see the river, the tree, the river, and so forth. And then it says, and the throne of God and of the Lamb.
Amen.
The Lamb will be there in eternity.
Amen.
So it's a memorial that this we need. We needed this. But just never forget, you know.
Amen.
And this is very, I would say, sobering, because it will cause us to realize we're no better than anyone else. Whenever you think you're better than someone else, remember, I needed the blood, but actually the Lord died for him too. So in the sense, we're all the same.
Amen.
So, amen. Okay, so it was a little boy that gave these to the Lord. So this signifies the smallness of Christ as the life supplied to us.
Amen.
He didn't give us a piece of steak, big potatoes, you know, anything heavy. It was bread, small things, fish.
Amen.
And I imagine it wouldn't have been tuna, you know. But our thought constantly of God is majestic, and that's true. But when he comes to us, he makes it very easy. His desire is that we would take him. He wouldn't make it difficult. So we need to learn to take him in his smallness. Resurrection is wonderful, because as long as you have one drop, I would say, it's life. And life's characteristic is that it multiplies. This is the nature, right? It doesn't die. It doesn't decrease. So even if you have one drop, eventually it will multiply. So don't be afraid to take just a little bit. You know, sometimes it's hard to eat. When you're sick, it's hard to eat, right? I don't know if you've ever lost your appetite when you're sick. But sometimes just a little bit will be enough. So regardless of how you feel, never feel that you can't take the Lord. You know, He's even as small as crumbs. If you look here, Matthew 15:25. But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, for even the little dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's tables." Yeah. Amen. Okay, now verse 12 to 15. So it mentions here that the 12 baskets are the richness of Christ in the overflow of his life supply. You know, what did they start with? 5 loaves and 2 fish. And it says that so they were filled with the bread and the fish as much as they wanted. So firstly, it was 5 loaves and 2 fish, and people ate as much as they want. But still, there was 12 baskets left over. You know, this is just a picture of resurrection. Like I told you, it's regardless of how small you think you have, if you have the life of God, don't be disappointed. Don't look at your life, look at that life. Take care of that life. Help that life to grow. You'll be surprised. Actually, our whole life, I would say, you know, the Lord, He did everything to give us His life. And the moment we receive Him, He comes into us. We have everything. We actually have everything. We just don't realize it. So our life, I would say, our life journey is to discover what we have received. You know? So believe in this life. You know, ask the Lord to find out what this life can do. Whatever is thrown at you, whatever circumstances, pressure from studying, pressure from exams, married life, family life, you know. We just recently, we just had our first son. Man, nothing will change your life more. But it's okay. I have the divine life, and I can still learn to live by the divine life, even in taking care of my son. Yeah. So learn to look at this life. And I would say learn to look at this life in other people. Don't look at them outwardly. If we would learn to see what God's life can do, it's not just for us. You know, the people in Camden Town with their rings and everything, if they receive God's life, you'll be amazed. God's life can do anything. So for ourselves, don't belittle. And in others, don't condemn. Because firstly, if they have the life of God, eventually they'll be okay. Amen. Do you believe this? Yeah. If they don't have the life of God, give them the life of God. Yeah. And they'll be okay. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Life, wonderful. Zoe. Don't. Amen. Amen. Lord, give us a revelation of your life. You know, I gave this Lord a funny prayer to me. I said, "Lord, speak to me by life, all kinds of life, yeah. Plant life, animal life, human life, because all these are pictures of what the divine life is. Everything we go through is meaningful. That is meaningful. The tree is meaningful. Ants are meaningful. Do you believe that? Ants, everything is meaningful. We just, our concept needs to be changed. We can get the Lord speaking to us, not just in meetings and not just when doing spiritual things. Keep that in mind. Amen. Okay, now I'm almost out of time and I haven't said what I really wanted to say. Okay, so let's come to point C. Let's read the heading together. Revolutionary
change in concept
of healing to eating. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's read point one. Just the points together.
The Word of God, who believe into His Son, are receiving Him as life and life
supply.
Eating Jesus to have life, to live by life.
Amen. You know, feeding, this talks about the need of the hungry and life's feeding. Feeding implies continuation. And it's something continual. You will never stop eating.
Amen.
I like it. This is how we were created. Just like we were created thirsty, we have to drink. We were created hungry.
Amen.
We have to eat, you know. So never think it's a once and for all thing. You have to do it all the time. And actually, I would even say it's like a habit, you know. If you want to eat healthily, you can't do it just one meal a day. One meal in a week. You have to do it all the time. In fact, for a certain amount of time before you become healthy. And to maintain that healthiness, you have to continue eating the right stuff. So never think it's just a once-off thing that you get and you're okay. We often use the term, never graduate from eating. You can graduate from your degree, from your university, and you don't need your university anymore. But with eating, you can't eat once
amen.
And not eat again.
Amen.
Okay, amen. So, how does, you know, so people were saying, what shall we do to do the works of God? You know, there are two trees. So we are talking about life and hungry, but keep in mind, we can fill our being with other things. You know, we can fill our being with things that are not God. So everything that comes out of this tree, this other source, actually, is on the line of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. So we need to learn to have a change in our concept. We're very often concerned with things like, am I doing this right? Am I doing this wrong? Will that person be happy if I do this? Will he not be happy if I do this? Our whole life is just, actually, I heard this is in our genes, you know, this way of thinking, right and wrong. Actually, culture is like that. Culture is the epitome of it. Everyone, it's just a system of right and wrong. You know, Chinese say you should eat with your chopsticks. The Westerners eat with knife and fork. Which is right, which is wrong? Who's to say, you know? But we don't want to deal with that. We want life.
Amen.
God's life. So, you know, we have to learn to eat. So we have to eat the Lord and live by what we eat.
Amen.
You know, when you eat, you don't just put it in your mouth and that's not the end of the story. It gets digested and it gets assimilated into your being. And I would say, you know, in the meetings and when we have times with the Lord personally, I would say that's our eating, you know. But we need it to be digested and assimilated into our being.
Amen.
I would say that is our living by what we eat. You know, don't think it ends by let's say you have a time with the Lord and then you forget the Lord the rest of the day. That's not living by what you eat. You know, you need to cooperate. I was just thinking of, you know, a sports drink. You have it so it supplies you with the energy and everything. But the reason you do it is so you can perform better. But if you just have it and sit there all day, it's not really doing what it's supposed to do. You're not living by that gateway to get the maximum benefit. So, as I mentioned, you know, our spiritual life, learning to live by our human spirit, is not just in the meetings. It's not just when you read the Bible. It's not just when you're with the brothers. When you're studying, Lord, study with me. As you catch the bus, Lord, I'm waiting here with you. It's what we're learning, so don't be disappointed. But this is when stuff gets into your being. This is learning to fish, maybe. But it gets into you. And naturally, spontaneously you'll be different. You won't notice it. And that's a key sign to life. You won't really notice it.
Amen.
Okay, so, I don't really have the time, but I just wanted to touch that, you know, the Lord, he mentions here the bread. And they said, give us, he was the bread that came down out of heaven. You know, and then he eventually said, the bread becomes flesh. You say, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall have life, you know. But what he's referring to is not actually the physical, his physical flesh. Because later on he says, the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. The words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So words, speaking is very important, you know. Just like I mentioned, even if you're by yourself, stand in front of a mirror or something, speak, you know, you will get supply because you're the first one who hears. I don't have time, but Lord Jesus. But speaking is really, really wonderful. We need to learn to speak this belief, exercise our faith, you know. If you're feeling down, pull out a verse or two and read it with a praying spirit and exercise to believe. You know, you don't know what will happen. In fact, I would say, so I'll just come to my next point because this is my burden, but it's hunger. I want to talk to you about hunger. You know, the Lord is not concerned about sin so much. We're very concerned about whether we sin or not. And actually, I think we don't realize that a lot of things we do, the good things that we do can be regarded as sin in the Lord's eyes. But anyway, don't worry about that. We are very concerned about sin, and we're very concerned that we're weak. Oh, I can't pray like that person. Oh, I can't prophesy like that person. Oh, I can't get up in the morning. Oh, I can't. All these things that we think we need to do to be spiritual. And, you know, because the Lord is not concerned because, why? He is the life. Amen. His life will take care of every need, Amen. Every problem. So he's not worried about that. You know, we have to learn to see this. He's not worried about that. Actually, what he's worried about is that we will not eat. So he's worried that we're full, we're content, you know, that we wouldn't eat. You know, the more you eat, the more hungry you become. A baby, when they're born, their stomach is like pea size, you know. They don't need to eat that much. But as they, within a couple of days, it becomes like a grape. And then within a week, it's already the size of a ping pong ball. You know. The reason I say this is, the Lord desires us, our capacity is what, we have to ask the Lord to give us a larger capacity as we go on. Amen. It's very sad, and it doesn't, I would say, it saddens the Lord if we stay the same year after year. I would even say meeting after meeting or so and so. Because his life, he knows what his life can do. Just like that lifeboat illustration. You can be saved. But the question is up to you. Do you want to come and get it? So our hunger, you know, I just wanted to read a little quick portion to you. Many of you might have heard of a sister called Emmy Barber. And where is it? And it's gone. No. Anyway, Emmy Barber. So, Watchman Nee, Emmy Barber kind of was, I guess, his spiritual mother. And he always wondered why is she so, she has so many riches in her, you know. So one day before she passed away, he went to see her. And he asked her why, and she said, "I don't really know." But she said, "But I have been constantly eating, and I have been constantly hungry." Sometimes we're hungry, and then we eat, but then we become satisfied, and we don't become hungry again. This is like our capacity. If we stay pea-sized and never want more, that is all we'll ever get. But I would say, as we eat and we live by the Lord in our daily life, our capacity will grow.
Amen.
And you can receive more. So, you know, hunger in this sense is good. I would even say it's the Lord's picture to cause us to continually seek after Him.
Amen.
Not just to be satisfied with a little bit. You know, the Lord's life can do so much. A brother, elderly brother told me one time, he prayed to the Lord, "Lord, let me experience everything in the New Testament." Would you dare to say that? Do you know what that includes? Yeah. It includes what the Lord went through, what the Apostle Paul went through. Stonings, beatings, and persecution. But the point is, in those experiences, he experienced the Lord.
Amen.
You know. And this is where the increasing comes, actually. Increase comes. You know, we should become beggars, and we should learn to treasure what we have. As I mentioned earlier, I believe our life is just really a journey to discover what we have received when we first believe. And this is like the increase. You know, the more we know, the more we know the Lord and know this life, this is our spiritual progress.
Amen.
And this is increase. So, John 17:3, I love this verse. "And this is eternal life, that you may know the..." Let me read it. John 17:3. "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Him whom you have sent, Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Christ is rich, and Christ is everything, but He might not be rich in everything in our experience. But for us to experience, we need hunger. We need hunger, yeah. And we need to be able to cause others to be hungry. You know, I was telling the brothers, you know, what is success? What makes you successful in any work? I believe it's partly your ability to pass on what you know to someone else. You know, all the revivals in Christian history, they were wonderful. But it ended when these certain brothers passed away. It never passed on to the next generation. They never really, in a real practical way, passed it on. But the perfect and beautiful example is the Lord Jesus. He came onto this earth. He lived by the Father, just as we are learning to live by Him. Okay. And the 12 disciples were not that good at the beginning. Peter, his name means wishy-washy. Right? His original name, Simon, means wishy-washy. But eventually he became Peter, a stone. At the end of their life, they made it. Or actually, the Lord's life in them made it. So, you know. Yeah. But how much we can draw others depends on how much we have enjoyed. You know, it's just like if you eat good food, probably the first thing you'll do is you want to tell your mates about the food, right? And how much you enjoyed that food actually will be the hook to bring for you to get them there. If you don't put a good picture, like our brother used earlier, you know, about the glass of water, who would want to come, you know? So, you know, Song of Songs is, it says, "Draw me, we will run after you."
Amen.
We can't expect others to, we can't, on the one hand, we have the Lord that draws us. On the other hand, we need to learn to draw others as well. And this is where the building is.
Amen.
Give them the life.
Amen.
Help the life in them to increase.
Amen.
Don't worry too much about the other things. That's not to say forget about the other things. We shouldn't be loose. But we have to learn to see the precious things. In our seeking, we need to seek the precious things, not the curious things. So an example that was given was, you know, if all you want to know is stuff like who was Cain's wife, and all these kind of trivial things that are not mentioned in the Bible, you won't really get too far. We need to learn to treasure and seek after the precious things. And I would say the precious things are life. What this life can do. In fact, in eternity, we will still be finding out what this life can do.
In the beginning
was the Word.
In the beginning
was the Word.
Oh, praise the Lord for the Word.
Amen.
The Word is the definition, the explanation, and the expression of God. Amen. It is God defined, God explained, God expressed. Oh, Lord Jesus, it's wonderful that we can come to the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, we see the Gospel of life. And I just really appreciate how life and the Word go together. You know, the Lord is speaking, and His speaking to us is that we would know Him as life. So as we're going on to the second and third points, I'm very impressed that we need to have our ears open to hear what the Lord is speaking.
Amen.
You know, the Gospel of John is so mysterious. I really appreciate how Brother Collie brought out, you have these synoptic Gospels. You have Matthew, you have Mark, and you have Luke, which are written in a chronological way. But did you realize that when it comes to the Gospel of John, it is written in a particular way, not according to chronology, but for a specific purpose, which is to present God as life to man for a specific purpose for the building of God.
Amen.
So if you realize this, if we realize this is the view, then we have to really consider, why did John put these cases in the book of John? You know, so many of the cases in John are not included in any of the other Gospels. Anyway, so we see that life meets the need of every man's case.
Amen.
Is there a case which life cannot meet the need? No. Life meets every man's need.
Amen.
So there are 9 cases in the Gospel of John. Okay, what are these cases? What is the first case? The moral man. What is his need? Oh, every man needs regeneration.
Amen.
Amen. What is the second case?
Immoral.
What does a moral man need?
Satisfying.
What satisfies man?
Life.
Oh, life, to drink the living water.
Amen.
Why are we immoral? Just because we're thirsty for so many other things.
Amen.
What is the third case?
Dying.
Sorry?
Dying.
Dying, right? What is the need of the dying?
Healing.
Oh, Lord, we need life's healing.
Amen.
Okay, then what is the fourth case?
Impotent.
Impotent, unable. What? Lame, blind, sick, but in a condition, in religion. Oh, Lord, what can we do?
Enliven Him.
Oh, Lord, we need Him to enliven us.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, enliven us.
Amen.
Life enlivens.
Amen.
Okay, where are we at? The fifth case? Okay, what is the hungry? Oh, who's hungry? I'm hungry. Are you hungry? Yes, we're all hungry. We need, and what do we need?
Feeding.
Let's say life's feeding. Life's feeding. Amen. And then we have the need of the thirsty. What do they need? That's right, life's quenching. Okay, so these first 6 cases show us man's need on a positive side. They show us what life can be to us. But then we come to the final 3 cases. So let's read Roman numeral 2 together. The basic problem of fallen mankind in the last three cases of John. Okay, let's read all three together. Sin, blindness, and death. Oh, Lord. Okay, so these three are on the negative side, showing us what life delivers us from. Life delivers us from sin, from blindness, and from death. What saves you from sin? Life. What saves you from blindness? Or we can say darkness. Life. Amen. And what overcomes death? Life. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, actually, these three cases really are related to one another. Sin results in blindness. And the issue is death. Actually, you know, what was the first case? What was the first case? The first case was the need of the moral. And the need of the moral is life's regenerating. I think it's very interesting. You know, in the end of John, it says that there was, if all the things that were written about the Lord Jesus on the earth were to be written, put together, said not even the whole earth could contain them. Okay? So this is John writing this book. So that he puts the first case. And the first case is man needs to be regenerated. Okay, then he puts the last case. What is the last case? Death. Okay. What is the last thing man needs? He needs resurrection.
Amen.
So these three things here, sin, blindness, and death, show us on the negative side a particular order. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, this woman, she was in sin in John chapter 8. She was caught in the very act. But actually, she was a person, she was really just in darkness. And we have to just love the way that the Lord saved her, delivered her from that situation. You know, I appreciate when I was reading John chapter 8 this morning, you know how it begins? It says that the Lord was there in the temple and he was sitting. He was sitting and he was teaching. He was feeding. And then they brought this woman to him, and they said, "We caught this woman in the very act." Right? Oh, Lord Jesus. But he was there. He was still sitting and he was just stooping on the ground. You know, he was so humble, taking care of her, this one. And yet, they still would not stop questioning him until he stood up and said, "Who is without sin? Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." And we know that from the oldest they left to the youngest, until only he and she were left behind. And he said, "Where have they all gone?" And she said, There's no one left." He said, "Well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Actually, she was a person in darkness. The Lord reveals later that he is the light of the world.
Amen.
Christ as light frees us from sin. Anyway, we don't have the time to dwell on these points, but we can just appreciate that they are related to one another. Okay, so let's read three together. The need of the dead, life's resurrecting. Okay, let's read these verses alternating, brothers and then sisters. "He said these things, and after this he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going that I may wake him out of sleep.'" "But they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep."
"So Jesus then told them plainly, 'Lazarus has died.'"
"Then they took the stone away, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out!'
And
Amen. Okay, how about we pray read the first part of verse 41, okay? Then they took the stone away, okay? How about we just declare that line? Amen.
Amen.
They took the stone away.
Amen.
They took the stone away.
Amen.
They took the stone away.
Amen.
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 Okay.
Amen. Okay, that's enough up to there, okay? And then let's pray read the last part of verse 44. It said, Jesus said to them, the last line there. Amen. Jesus said to them. Amen. 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 Loose him and let him go. Amen. Yes. Amen. Okay. A. Let's read it together. Death, the last negative factor affecting man's entire being. Oh, death is the last enemy. Lord Jesus. One, deadened in our spirit. Two, our soul becoming death. Three, the body of this death. Actually, all the foregoing cases, like John pointed out, are really matters of death. You know, when you're hungry, I didn't think about this till John said it, but it's so true. Every time you're hungry, that indicates if you don't eat, you're going to die. If you don't drink, you're going to die. You know, all of these things are showing us that death actually is the final enemy. So the situation with man is that although he seems like he's living, actually, his spirit is dead. That means it's without function. Before we received the Lord, our spirit was dead. And this death is not only in our spirit, but it's even become in our soul. Our soul has become corrupted and become death. Look at this. It says, the mindset on the flesh is death. Our mind is death. And the body of this death, even our body has become death. Oh, what a terrible situation that we are in. But you know something in the Gospel of John, the Lord wants to reveal something. He wants to show something to us. And particularly in this chapter, he wanted to show something to a specific group of people. You know, this wasn't shown to everybody. It was shown to a group of people. And you know who the ones he was showing them to? He was showing this matter to his lovers. He was showing this to a group of people who loved him. He wanted to show them that he is resurrection.
Amen.
It's one thing to know life. It's another thing to know resurrection. You know, all the other signs occurred in a kind of religious atmosphere. Actually, in the book of John, you can see two things. On the one side, you have life, but on the other side, you see religion. These two things are opposed to each other. Wherever you have life, you have religion. So that, like we saw so clearly last night, the Lord said, if you're willing, take up your mat. And religion came and persecuted this one. And later you see, there was one who was blind. And the Lord gave him sight. But the religious said, who was the person who gave you sight? Where did he come from? He said, anyway, they were just persecuting life all the time. Until finally he had to come out of that situation. And in chapter 11, we're not anymore in a kind of religious background. Here we come to a particular situation with a group of lovers of the Lord Jesus in a place called Bethany. Okay? Bethany was where those who loved him. And he wanted to show them something about himself. But we see in this chapter, there is a problem. Oh, Lord Jesus, there's a problem. To us knowing him. Oh, do you want to know him?
Amen.
Oh, to know him.
Amen.
To know him.
Amen.
We're not here to just receive some knowledge, right? Did you come just to have a good feeling? Did you come to just sing some good songs? To have an experience? No, we came because we want to know Him.
Amen.
But there are some problems. There are some frustrations. And so this chapter fully exposes the situation. Amen. So, B says the Lord's delay. And we don't have the time to read the whole story, but there was three people. There was Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. They were brothers and sisters. And they loved the Lord Jesus, and the Lord loved them. And one day, Lazarus got sick, and it was a serious sickness. And they obviously knew the Lord and what He was able to do. So the Lord, He was not where they were. They sent a message to Him. He was already sick. And they said, Lord, our brother is sick. But do you know what the Lord did when He found out that he was sick? He didn't do anything. He just stayed. Actually, He spoke a specific word, which I don't think they really heard. Okay, so they said, Lazarus is sick. And you know, the Lord said, this sickness is not unto death. Okay, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but that the Son of Man may be glorified. Okay. Now, Jesus loved Martha and his sister Lazarus, and her sister and Lazarus. When therefore he heard that he was sick, he remained at that time in the place where he was for 2 days. Okay, so sometimes, you know, there may be situations in the church life where we are, where somebody seems to be getting sick. We're not talking about a physical sickness necessarily. We may be talking about some kind of spiritual sickness. You know, somebody is becoming deader and deader. They're not coming to the meetings anymore. They're not pursuing the Lord. Or even there may be a particular situation. Maybe somebody has lost their job. They failed their exams. They're disheartened. And we tell the Lord, Lord, you got to do something. This person's lost their job. They have to have a job. Lord, their family, this, that. We just bother the Lord. Well, doesn't this sound just like in John chapter 2? Do you remember? In John chapter 2, the Lord's mother, Mary, she said, Lord, the wine has run out. Okay, so what did the Lord say to her? He said, woman, what does this have to do? What does this have to do? Okay, let me read it. Okay, let me read it. I think you're all right, but better for me to read it. Okay. He said, woman, what do I have in this that concerns you? My hour has not yet come. My hour has not yet come. The life has a time. You see, actually, you see this in the Gospels. Okay, so remember, the Lord has a specific purpose. His purpose is He wants to reveal something to them, that He is resurrection.
Amen.
Okay, so He allows the situation. He allowed Lazarus to die. Actually, He allowed the situation to become so bad that it seemed like there was no hope. Okay. Oh, Lord Jesus. So let me carry on reading. So what happened after the Lord remained there for 2 days was eventually the Lord said to the disciples, this is chapter 11, verse 7. Then He said to the disciples, let us go into Judea again. The disciples said to Him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again? Okay, so probably if you were a disciple and you knew this situation before, Lazarus, you know the Lord loves Lazarus. You know Lazarus loves the Lord, this family. And the news comes to the Lord that Lazarus is sick, and you were one of the disciples, and you heard the Lord say, I'm not going anywhere. You'd have been thinking, what is He doing? You know, He should go, right? So I think this was the disciples' opinion at that time. They were feeling like they were moved. The Lord's heart was not moved, but they were moved. okay? But then the Lord said, okay, it's time to go. And what did they say? They said, wait a minute, you can't go there. They were just about to stone you, okay? But the Lord, he wasn't going according to anything of man's opinions or according to the apparent need. He was going according to living according to the will of the Father.
Amen.
So, I'm going to skip a few verses. He said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going that I may wake him out of sleep. Okay, so the disciples didn't understand what he was going to say. So actually, what we see in this chapter, brothers and sisters, we may think the major revelation in this chapter is resurrection, but actually find that the major revelation in this chapter is opinions frustrate the revelation of Christ as resurrection.
Amen.
So every time the Lord wants to show something, their opinion gets in the way of them knowing him as resurrection. So they said, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. But Jesus had spoken about his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. Okay, and I rejoice for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Okay, I'm going to skip some more. And so we know that when he got there to Bethany, Martha came out. And, you know, she knew the Lord, right? Surely, do you think Martha knew the Lord? Surely she knew the Lord. And what was her response? She came to, this is verse 21. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Okay. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So she was basically saying to him, he said, you're too late. Lord, you're too late. You should have come before. But what she didn't realize was she didn't know the Lord as resurrection. But the Lord wanted to reveal himself to her as resurrection. Okay. Says, but she said something quite good. She said, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Then this is interesting. He said to her, your brother will rise again. Okay. So the Lord said to her, your brother will rise again. What was her response to this? Her response was, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. So, in other words, the Lord was trying to present himself to those there, show them that he is resurrection. He says, your brother will rise again. She says, I know. She already knew. But what she knew was something she picked up from her religious background. Very good. Completely according to the scriptures. But it prevented her from knowing and experiencing the resurrection life. She said, I know he will be raised in the last day. So she was putting off that experience. Saints, sometimes we come to this conference, or we come to the morning revival, or we come to the Word, and I think many times within us, there are things that prevent us from experiencing the resurrection life. These things are formed by our religious background. Maybe when you heard, oh, we're going to go through the Gospel of John, you thought, oh, John, I've read John quite a few times. I know John. Have you ever felt that way? Or, oh, I know about the human spirit. Or, I know about this. Or, I know about... All of those things, they are preventing us from experiencing the resurrection life.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. Okay, so... Amen. So what verse are we on now? Okay. He said, verse 25. Let's all read 25 together. Is it in your sheet? Maybe it's, yeah. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes into me, even if he should die, shall live. I am the resurrection.
Amen.
I am the resurrection.
Amen.
I am the resurrection.
Amen.
And the life.
Amen.
Resurrection and the life.
Amen.
She knew him as life, but she didn't know him as resurrection.
Amen.
You know, life meets all of the needs, but eventually death, you know. What can overcome death? Actually, resurrection. Only resurrection life can overcome death. You know, of all the weapons, you know, an atomic bomb cannot overcome death. When death comes to you, nothing can overcome it. Only resurrection can overcome it. Resurrection overcomes every attack of death. He was trying to reveal to her who he was. He is the resurrection and the life. This should be our continual experience day by day. Not only are we those experiencing life, but we should be those, you know, death comes in many forms, you know, around us, so many different kinds of forms, within us, without us. But when we touch this person, he is resurrection.
Amen.
And you know what? When did resurrection get into us? When we first received the Lord.
Amen.
So let's read 2 and then A. Not to help our natural life, but to bring our whole being into resurrection. Oh, the Lord wants to bring our whole being into resurrection. The initial stage of resurrection, regeneration. Oh, aren't you glad that the Gospel of John is not the Gospel of correction and regulation? You know, the Lord did not come and say, "You have all done it wrong. You need to do it this way." No, he said, "I have come that you may have life."
Amen.
And he said, "I am the resurrection and the life."
Amen.
And he came in the way of feeding, came in the way of quenching. So when we receive the Lord, to become a Christian is not to have a change, to be reformed, to turn over a new leaf. It is to receive resurrection life into our spirit. So what is the Christian life? The Christian life is the continuing stage of resurrection, sanctification and transformation. So resurrection is saturating Ben's soul. Amen. Wow. Praise the Lord. Stefan's soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. But one day the consummate stage of resurrection will be glorification. Okay, let's all read together. See. The way to receive the Lord's life-giving in resurrection. Okay, what is the way to receive the Lord's life-giving in resurrection?
Dropping our human dominion and submitting to the Lord's feeding and revelation.
Okay, maybe we did not expect this to be on the outline. If I said resurrection to you, would you have put the words submit and dropping? Actually, if we want to experience resurrection life, we need to learn to drop our opinion.
Amen.
And
submit.
Amen. Resurrection comes when we say amen.
Amen.
Let's all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now we all say amen, Lord.
Amen, amen, Lord.
Okay. Should I go to the training? Should I not go to the training? Should I go to this school? Should I not go to this school? Should I do this? Should I do that? Amen, Lord.
Amen.
We need to learn to drop our opinions.
Amen.
Everything we have, whether they're good opinions, bad opinions, whether it's spiritual knowledge, whether it's from our culture, we need to learn to drop everything of the past.
Amen.
You know, actually, the Lord was so frustrated by all of these different opinions. He was there. He was the resurrection life. But Martha said, "I know." And Mary said, if you'd have been here, if you'd have been here." And the Jews said, "Oh, couldn't he have healed this man? What? Why? Couldn't he have healed this man?" You know, the Lord's reaction, he was just indignant. Nobody realized who he was until he said, "Show me, where is he?" He said, "He's dead. He's stinking by now. What's the point?" They had no appreciation of who he is. But they did say one thing. They said, come and see. This was the best thing they said. They said, come and see. That word, come and see, was them saying, amen, Lord. Come and see. Then he said one thing to them. He said, remove the stone. He said, take away the stone. So, why did he do that? Have you ever thought about this? Maybe you never thought about this. I never thought about it. His resurrection life. He can if he can bring the dead to life, why didn't he remove the stone? Because resurrection life needs our cooperation.
Amen.
Okay, this is us saying, amen, Lord.
Amen.
If we want to experience resurrection life, we have to cooperate and coordinate with him.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
2, let's read this together. Cooperating with the Lord to loose others and be loosed by others from earthly bondage. Saints, you know the condition of death that Lazarus was in? He was stinking. His hands were bound. His feet were bound, and he was completely covered. Well, have you ever... I've been in this situation. I've been dead many times. But the Lord's speaking to us. We say, amen, Lord. He says, Lazarus, come out.
Amen.
Then we come out of that death situation, but still, you know what there is? There's still the bandages of death. still holding us down. So you know what we need? We need the brothers and sisters in the church life to do something, to coordinate with the Lord, to loose us from death. So we need to learn to help and coordinate with the Lord to remove those bandages. How do we help people to come out of death? Do we tell them, oh, you're so dead, why weren't you in the meeting? No, look at the ways to help others to come out of death. Okay, let's... read it again. By calling on his name. So maybe we don't say anything to a person. They say, I should have done this. I feel so bad. I messed up. You just say, I don't know, brother. I messed up too. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love you. Isn't that the way to remove the bandages of death? To touch resurrection life. By touching the Spirit. Brother, I don't know, but how about we pray, read a verse? In him was life.
Amen.
By finding him in the morning.
Amen.
By confessing his name before men.
Amen.
Where were you on the 18th, on the 17th of April? Where were you? Here, right? So what if somebody asks you this tomorrow? Where were you yesterday? Say, oh, I was in Wales and I was experiencing the resurrection life. What? Well, I was confessing his name. That's to have the bandages removed.
Amen.
Every time we confess, and I love the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, more death is overcome by what? Resurrection life.
Amen.
By prophesying in the meeting. Saints, we're about to end here and go to the group times, but we like to speak this, encourage everybody how to get out of death. Sometimes we sit in the meeting, we think, oh, I don't have anything to say. They just said it, or they can say it better than me, or I'm not getting that much out of this conference. I don't know. All the other conferences were great, but this one, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Prophesying will help us to experience the resurrection life. He is life. Death cannot hold the resurrection life. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's stop here and break up for our group time.